We've been privileged to be out today, and certainly we're thankful for those that were able to be with us earlier, and we know that many of them were going to a camp, so we're missing those, and some others of our number that normally assemble here are out of town. And then we also have Debbie said that they are leaving to go out of town today, and that's why they left. So we're missing them, but we are glad for those that are left, and certainly appreciate you being here today. It's been such a pleasure to be able to be together. It's really good to see Katie. We haven't seen her in a while, and I'm glad that she's with us today. Certainly appreciate it. It's been a little while, but a long time then if you go back from the last time forward. But it just looks right there now with James there as well. But also, you'll notice that Nancy just looks so happy today. She's got her old family represented here this morning. And so we appreciate that and appreciate them being with us, and we thank them for coming. We've been talking about hope this morning, and certainly hope is something that we need to keep in our lives. We read this from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, now abides faith, hope, and love, and these three, and the greatest of these is love. When we think about this and we think about what that means, and we've talked about the basis of love, we used an example of love, and now we're going to talk about some types of hope. I said love, hope, excuse me. There are multiple types that the Bible mentions about hope. One of them is the fact that there is no hope. We know that the Gentiles before Christ came into the world, the Bible says that in, let's just go ahead and read all of that, and then we'll get to the verse that we're wanting to use from Ephesians 2. He talks about the fact that before they didn't have a written law, and certainly the written law had been given to the Israelites. And those Israelites had that law of Moses, but the Gentiles did not. Now, many had followed the law of Moses, and many had tried to follow God's will. But we find something about Gentiles, which would be where most of us would fall, if not all of us in this audience. So in Ephesians 2, verse 11, it says, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, talking about the difference between the Jew and the Gentile, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, he's not saying that some Gentiles didn't. As a rule, Gentiles did not follow God. He's simply saying that as a result of that, many of them didn't believe in God. Now, we know even before the law of Moses, everyone would have been considered of the nations, if you will, Abraham falling in that category, and he certainly believed in God. Noah believed in God. Many had believed in God before the law of Moses. But as a rule, they had no covenant with God separate and apart from that general covenant, and they had no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who's made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation, that had separated Jew and Gentile, having abolished in His flesh the enmity. That is, now He's going to talk about something else. As far as the Jews are concerned, there's something else He abolished. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So He got rid of that law as well. So, as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Now, He said both Jew and Gentile could come together in this called out group, that He might reconcile them both to God in the one body, that is the church, through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those that were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What a beautiful thought. At one point, no hope. They had none. But the truth is, that did not have to exist anymore. But unfortunately, in the New Testament, for some, both Jew and Gentile, that did exist. It did exist in those who did not believe in the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14, as he discusses the resurrection of the dead. But he says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. They didn't believe in it. So they have no hope in a resurrection. They have no hope in having a glorified body someday. They do not believe in it. And as a result of that, no hope. When you get to that point and you can't believe that, as we discussed in the first lesson, then you've got yourself a problem. Because if you don't believe in that, everything else you do is in vain. It doesn't matter what else you do. If you do not have that hope, you have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. There is also this discussion in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection from the dead. He talks about the basis of our salvation in the first four verses. He talks about the fact that Jesus did arise from the dead. But he said, now, if you don't believe in that resurrection, basically, your hope's in this life also, only. In 1 Corinthians 15, 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, you're of all men the most pitiable. It's sad, isn't it, for a person who believes in Jesus Christ but has no hope of eternal life with Him, no resurrection, then they are to be pitied because they will not be saved when the time comes. And, of course, that whole chapter is about that. But there's a type of hope that's called a promised hope. It was promised all the way back in the Old Testament. That's why we study the Old Testament. We read all the things that are said about it. We try to understand all of this. We try to put it all together to have a better understanding. And that's what he talks about in Romans 15, verse 4. Whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of Testament Scriptures, might have hope. It is through those that's where hope came from, because we recognize this plan that God put into place. That solidifies our hope because of that faith that is established when we look back and see the plan that God had, see how He fulfilled it perfectly through those Old Testament Scriptures and all of those prophecies concerning the Christ. So that solidifies our hope. Again, when Paul was on trial in Acts 26, another place where he talks about this, he says in verses 6 through 9, "Now I am stand," this is for King Agrippa, "and I'm judged for the hope of the promise, the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers." He said, it's all about that promise that was made. My hope's established on that promise. What promise? That promise made all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, solidified again through the law of Moses. To this promise, our 12 tribes, when they were broken out into one family coming out of Egypt, earnestly serving God night and day, hoped to obtain. He said, so those of us that are Jews, based on that promise, we now have hope. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? You can see now what we're talking about. All of this is based on a hope of something we have after this life. We truly believe that God has something planned for us. Something that He talked about in the Old Testament. Something that came to pass in the New Testament. And you've got to remember, when Paul was writing this, the book of Acts hadn't been written. Much of the New Testament hadn't been written at this time. They're in the process of writing it. And that's why he's talking about, we have to look back at these Old Testament Scriptures. We're encouraged to do the same thing as we read from Romans 15. But there's also just one hope. It's not many of them. It's not based on, okay, we've got this one, we've got that one. The Bible clearly says we have one hope. That hope is talking about our salvation, our eternal salvation. In Ephesians 4:4, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. What got us to do what prompted us to want to obey God? We realized what we would receive. We would get forgiveness of our sins, could then be added to the church, and then we could live our lives in a way that we could talk to God, get forgiveness of our sins, do the best that we possibly could, and because of His Son, Jesus Christ, we had that hope. Leaving this life and going to a better one. Knowing that we could receive a glorified body. Knowing that we could put off this old body that's decaying and rotting away. So He talks about that. One hope of your calling. It's not just that, it's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. As we talked about faith last week, not based on anything that's dead. It's based on facts. It's based on evidence. It's based on what we can see. It's based on what He's given us the ability to know. Both what we can see that He's created and in what He's written. And that's why we have that hope. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. And what's it based on again? To the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. When we used this in the first assembly, we were talking about the resurrection. Now we see that gives us a living hope. It's not dead. It's not based on something we don't desire. It's not based on something we don't expect. We have both of those in knowing He was resurrected from the dead and we too can be. But it's a hope that does not disappoint. You know, so many times in life, as a child, I told you I hoped for something. Well, there was times when I had both desire and expectation. My desire was still there, but the expectation never came. I didn't get it. I sure thought I was going to, didn't you? I mean, I really wanted what I thought I was going to get, but it just didn't happen. With this, this is not a hope that will disappoint. In Romans 5, 1 through 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. You see what it's based on? All of these things build our hope, because as we get through them, as we understand them, as we keep patient in all the things that are happening to us. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to you. It's a hope that does not ever disappoint. We know through our faith that He will give us something when this life is over, because we've already seen the evidence of all that He's done to make it possible as far as He's concerned. We just have to come through faith to accept His grace. It's our hope. Guess what our hope is again? 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. That's our hope. That's everything I live for. That's what I will die for, unless I lose my faith and my hope. You think about that for a moment. My whole life has been about serving Him when I realized what I needed to do. Now let's look at some traits of hope. The Bible tells us that one of the traits of hope is that it's an anchor. In Hebrews 6, 19 and 20, that it will hold us firmly. We know what an anchor is. We're going to look at a picture in here in a minute. But this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. He said, you want your hope to anchor you? And you just think of what Jesus did and where He went back to so that we could go there. And so when we think about this anchor, that's a pretty good size anchor. What would that be? You're right. And you think about that for just a moment and you think about that anchor. And that's what I picture it, don't you? I picture an anchor like that holding me because of my hope. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that He left this life after He was resurrected and dead and He went back to heaven to be with God forever. And that holds me in place, because if He went there, He's made a promise that I can go there too. But I'll tell you something, another trait of hope. It causes us to want to be purified. It causes us to want to keep our lives clean. If we have a hope, we know that nothing unclean can enter there. So in 1 John 3:1-3, He said, when He comes, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, not yet been revealed what we shall be. No one knows that. No one's seen that. No one can for sure say this is exactly how Abe Martin will look if he does salvation from God. No one, because we haven't seen it. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He's pure. How can I possibly purify myself? If I have sin in my life, what will it take to get rid of it? We would go right back to what Jesus did on the cross. It was because of His death that I can have my purification. By coming to Him and accepting the salvation He has to offer. By acknowledging that. By saying to Him, I am willing to confess You as the Son of God. I am willing to be immersed in water. I know then that You will at that point purify me, because that's the promise You made in Colossians 2:12, that it will be by the faith of the operation of God, that all my sins will be removed because I've been obedient to Your will and because of Your death on the cross. And in 1 Peter 1:13-16, it also is one of the traits of hope is it encourages holiness. That if I have true hope, that I don't have it on the basis of, well, He'll just accept me any way that I am. I have to do something about it. I have to understand and know that I have to get my life right. Now, what's the possibility of that? Well, let's read this. Gird up the loins of your mind. He's talking to Christians. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Accept God's grace. Understand and know it's on His grace that you can have your hope as obedient children. He says, if you want to keep this hope, you continue to be obedient. Not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance. Don't go back to your old life. Get your life right. Keep it right the best you can. And when you do make sin in your life, do something about it. Talk to God about it. Get it out of your life. He says, as in your ignorance. Now you know better. Abe, you can't do this anymore. Now, I realize he's talking to Christians of that time, but it fits us today. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in some of your conduct. No, sir. You be holy in all of your conduct, Abe. Keep your life right, because it is written, be holy, for I'm holy. Make yourself something that is sanctified, set apart. Let your body be that, he said. Then we need some head protection, it turns out, and guess what? Hope is that as well. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Present yourself, he said, with this breastplate. It's interesting, isn't it, that these three words are used again? Faith, hope, love. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. I found that very interesting. This is a Roman helmet. You put that thing on, it's one of a variety of them. You put that thing on, and it protects you. It keeps you from getting hit in the head. Well, what does the head house? What's he talking about here, figuratively speaking? He's talking about keep your mind, keep that hope. Protect it. Let it wear it as a helmet. Let people know you have that hope. You truly believe. But it's more than just in this life, as we used in 1 Corinthians 15:19. It can't be just in this life only. We have to look forward to something, a future hope. And this is the last part of the lesson. Let's talk a little bit about the future hope. What's my future hope? What is it that Abe's looking forward to? Well, in this life, I look forward to a lot of things. I don't know about the rest of you, but I gave a lesson not too long ago about taking one day at a time. But we also look to the future. We plan for the future, which God wants us to do. We just don't agonize over it. We leave that in His hands because we don't know what the future might bring. And this might be my last day on earth, so I take today. But thinking about that, I actually have one that he says, you might want to agonize a little bit about. You might want to really work on this one. It's a future hope you have. It's something beyond this life. Now, when I was younger, didn't think about that at all. Figured I was going to be here for a long time. Not so much true today. He's talking about eternal life. In Titus 1, verse 2, the Bible says, in hope of eternal life. The word eternal means never ending. Never ending. It's going to be a life that will never cease like this life. We know. If we didn't know anything else, the Bible doesn't have to tell us we're going to die. We look around every day and we see death all around us. It's a matter of fact. But he said, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And in Titus 3, verse 7, that having been justified by His grace, we... And it's interesting how these passages go together, isn't it? About we shall become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Jointly, we have determined that we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in eternal life today. As we were taking the Lord's Supper this morning, that is evident that we're looking forward to that His coming again. When we look at that and we think of our leaving this life, we have an opportunity then to be with Him. It has to be maintained until death. I cannot let my hope slip away. It has to be something that I will work on all of my life. In Hebrews 3, 5 and 6, as Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence that we talked about that comes with hope and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Have you ever thought about that letter that was written to the Jews, the letter we call Hebrews? Have you ever thought about how many times in that letter he's trying to prop them up? How many times he's trying to get them back to something that they should have known a long time ago? How many times he's trying to tell them, don't lose your confidence. Don't lose that hope. Don't lose it. He said, you were obedient at the first. What happened to you? Where did your faith and hope go? So in Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence with a full assurance, confidence of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so that's my admonition to me and to you today. We don't want to be like them. We need the same admonition. We need to hold on to that hope to the very end. Thus, God will be pleased with us. Because where is it? It's laid up in heaven. Colossians 1, 3 through 5. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith. These three words again. In Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up in heaven for you. Remember saying earlier that when you go on a trip and they're holding that reservation for you, and if you don't get there, guess what happens to that? The reservation goes away. I want to get there. I want to see my reservation. I trust in God that He has something for me. I hope fully that He has planned eternal life for me and that I'll receive it. And it is laid up in heaven for me. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that He's written that up there. He's got it. I've got your reservation, Abe. Come and get it. The question is, am I coming to get it? Without hope, I will never receive it. The hope that is saves is alive and well within us. That's the type of hope He wants us to have. He wants us to fully believe that if He raised His Son, He can raise us also. That He can give us a glorified body, as Paul talked about in Philippians 4. He's planned this before time began. You think about that. God planned that everyone in this room that's been obedient to His will now has a reservation made. He's got it already there. He's got His book of life. He's written the names there. I know all this is figurative. He's written the names there. But there's a warning about Christians. Don't do what I say. Take it and erase it. And your reservation's gone. Abe, be careful. Keep your confidence. Keep your hope. Keep your life pure. Keep yourself holy. Work on your life. Keep asking for my forgiveness. Do what you need to do. You want your name written there and you're not a Christian today? Easy. Easy. You have water up here. You've heard it so many times about what's necessary for your salvation. We plead with you today. Today. Establish that hope so you can have life with Him eternally. Please be obedient to Him today. We offer this opportunity while we stand and sing.